We're going to come now to our transpersonal experience. It's nice to note that the transit of the day, that the actual cross of the day is the 6-2. And we started yesterday with the 5-1. And we will finish this afternoon with the 6-3 cross, and we can all leave and go back into our own foundations, which is all very nice. Nice timing. Anyway, okay. At the moment that we make the transition through the 4-1, through the juxtaposition, the next stage in that is that we enter into the true left angle. We enter into the true left angle because, remember, the thing that kept the 4-1 connected to the right angle was the personality, the fourth line personality. But of course, here we're going to enter into the fifth line personality. So we enter into this configuration of the 5-1 and the 5-1 through to the 6-3. These next four profiles, they all have their own cross structure. Now, it's the same cross that we meet in the juxtaposition. However, the difference in this is that the moment that we're into the true left angle, what we have is transpersonal karma. And we're dealing here with an entirely different kind of being. One of the things to notice is that most of what profiling represents is a personal investigation into life. After all, that is what the lower trigram right-angle theme is all about. It's about investigating life as unique forms, each and every one of us with the illusion of separateness. And it is out of those unique experiences that the general picture of what it is to be alive, what it is to be human, is revealed. But at the same time, those very people that are going through those experiences are not necessarily equipped to bring them to a larger audience, to bring them to a larger recognition, and to expand the general consciousness. In that way, we need our left angles. Because the nature of the left angle is, as a transpersonal cross, as something that is carrying deep personal karma, they're forced to go out there and do that job. To introduce, to bring what's new, to establish the new heresy, because of course we begin here with the fifth line personality, which is a heretical personality. Burn, baby, burn. When do I get my turn? The first thing to keep in mind about the nature of the fifth line. After all, the fifth line is the line of universalization. And it is its capacity to universalize is conditioned by the fact that everyone that meets it expects it to be able to do that. It's because there is no resistance. It's because there is a projection that what they can universalize can be of personal value to the person who's calling it out. They don't meet the resistance. They can get their universalizing energy outward. So it gives all fifth lines an advantage. That advantage is that the other is always open to them and open to their penetration. As long as that penetration brings something of value and is practical. Now, if they're open to you and you're a fifth line and you penetrate them and you don't give them something that's practical, you're going to get punished. And the way in which you're going to get punished is through your reputation. All fifth lines are very touchy about their reputation. It is very important to them what other people think about them. And they are always dealing with the spectrum of opinion. Because no fifth line is ever going to pull only one side as a projection. There's always going to be both sides. There are going to be people who say wonderful things about them and people who say terrible things about them. And that's the way their life is going to be from the moment that they come into the world. Because after all, the moment that you're dealing with the fifth line, you're dealing with deep expectation, and the great expectors are the parents of a fifth line child. You know, my father, what he expected of me, good God. You know, and he was just projecting on my fifth line saying, well, you know, you can be this and you can be that. And how disappointing. You know, I was into sex and drugs and rock and roll, what to do? But after all, the projection field, that's what it brings. So when you have a fifth line child and they come into the world, what do? You can't project on them. You can't say to them, you're going to be the best. Because it isn't going to work. When you're dealing with the 5-1 as a left angle profile, this is the most transpersonal, as you will see, the most transpersonal of all the profiles. Remember that 6-9 personalities are going to go through a period of aloofness, and they are transpersonal in a very different way. But when you're dealing with the 5th line, because this is the true completion of the hexagram, this is the tradition of the exalted line, the hopes and expectations of humanity lie on the shoulders of the 5th line. So when you're dealing with the 5-1, you're dealing with the fundamental universalizing force. But of course, like all first lines, they have to have their foundation. And if they don't have their foundation, remember that in the nature of all first lines is inferiority, sense of inadequacy, all of these things as potentials in them, if they don't have the proper kind of foundation. The moment that they go out into the world, the moment it's projected on them that they can be the savior, the saint, the general, all these nice 5th line terms, if they can't deliver the goods, their reputation is instantly shattered. And the whole thing about being a 5-1 is that if you disappoint one person, it doesn't stop with them. They will tell as many people as they can. They will seek out revenge because you have broken their belief in you. You have smashed their hope. And because you've done that to them, they will let everybody know, this person, don't trust them, they're this, they're that, whatever the case may be. So all 5th lines grow up recognizing this pressure from very early childhood. And these are children that really suffer. You have a lot of children that break down very early in life, and it's interesting that the breakdown point for 5-1 children is around 7.5 years old. Now, it's something very important. In other words, it's the first Saturn quarter, and that's the place in which they can really break from the pressure. There's enormous pressure on children in their first 7 years to develop properly. You know, the moment they come out of the womb, you're counting their fingers and toes, and it keeps on going from there. You know, when they walk, when they talk, you know, when they're going to be able to do this, when they're going to be able to do that. And there is this intense watching of their development. Now, the 5-child has a projection field around it. It's getting incredible pressure on it. And because there's that pressure on it, it is so easy for these children not to be equipped, not to have the foundation yet, because their timing isn't the same as the expectation around them. And as such, you know, they can end up going deep, deep into an inner place, locking themselves away on the inside. And locking themselves away, they have, after all, a first line unconscious that needs to have its time of study, that needs to be able to do its homework and be left alone. And that 5th line, if it has that pressure in its early childhood, gets very distorted. You know, as you can see, it doesn't matter what the profile is, there is a strategy for parenthood. It's so important to understand that. That all of these children have a right, a basic human right, you know, to be allowed to be themselves. And that if you have a 5th line child, you cannot put that pressure on them. Because they're not ready to handle that. It's going to take them time. The result is the intense paranoia that permeates the 5th line life. And it is a paranoia that is actually in its healthiest aspect, is simply an endless suspicion. It is a suspicion of the projection field itself. You know, what do people actually see? And what are they actually seeing when they're projecting on the fifth line? And when you have the 5-1 and the first line at the unconscious level is the chameleon, you can begin to see that the 5-1, not only can they disappear into themselves, but they can also have this sense that nobody really sees them. That all they're seeing is the projection field. And not only that, when they begin to recognize, and they do, because they're the purest transpersonal line, that other people want something from them, you know, their suspicion is very, very clear. You know, they begin to see that, you know, what they're after is their hope and their need for their fulfillment of that projection. And that the fifth line is then put under the pressure of being between a rock and a hard place. You either deliver the goods or you suffer exponentially out of those that are disappointed or don't get what they need from you. You know, one of the things that I advise all 5-1s is that they've got to have a thick skin. But more important than a thick skin, they have to be deep in what it is that they know. And as long as they're deep in what they know, then they can live out their potential. Live out their potential to be able to universalize. It is only these forces that bring things to the planet. It is only these forces that always go beyond their family to the clan, and beyond the clan to the tribe, and beyond the tribe to the collective, and so forth. They have a capacity within them, once they are properly grounded, to be able to universalize, because they're the only profile that doesn't meet resistance. They only get into trouble afterwards, because everything they do is measured. Everything. Every act, every action is being measured in the projection field. That's why it's a wonderful strategy for all fifth lines to know when to disappear. You know, the moment that they're successful in being able to practically give a solution, get the hell out of that person's aura. Go away. You see, because what they're going to do is that they're going to tell all kinds of people about how wonderful you were. And then they really get into that. And that's great for your reputation. You know, just get away. That's what fifth lines do. And then their reputation grows and they gain from that. You see, there's a mysteriousness to them. And that mysteriousness grows when they know how to withdraw and wait in the wings like the good general, waiting for their opportunity on the edge of history, waiting for their opportunity to step in and be history and be rewarded for it. And of course, what that means is that all 5-1s have to learn patience in life. You know, I'm an Aries 5-1 manifester. You know, patience. That is really something to master in this life. And the only thing that does that is awareness. Because awareness, if you're really clear, you will see that we are helpless and have no choice, and then you can take all the pressure off what it is to be. And you can just let it happen. So with the 5-1, we have the heretic investigator. Now think about the nature of the heretic. The nature of the heretic is that the heretic can bring a completely new standard. It can impact profoundly on human principle. And of course, what is difficult to deal with is that the heretic is somebody who has a natural gift of universalizing. That's what makes them dangerous. You know, the 4 is not dangerous. It's just annoying. But the 5 is dangerous because it doesn't have the resistance field, so it can put its virus, its concept, its philosophy, its whatever into others. And if it's practical, it can turn over the apple cart and disturb an awful lot of people. So you have a pure heretic. And what that means is that if there is no foundation, If the introspection, if the investigation is not there and it's not fulfilled, they're going to burn over and over again in life. 5-1s can be very sad people. Because, of course, genetically it is their gift to have real power in this life. To be able to communicate the essence of something in this life. And that they can end up being forced from town to town, literally. You know, feeling like it's impossible for them.